we present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday. In June 1942, two German U-boats headed quietly into American waters, aimed at two isolated beaches. On board each craft was a team of four men, eight specialists, primed for an audacious mission, codenamed Operation Pistorius. But neither team knew of another passenger with an even greater mission that could shake the world. He was the Ninth Man. The Ninth Man. A chilling story based on historical fact by John Lee and dramatized for radio in 25 episodes by Victor Madison.
Saturday, June 20th, 1942. Peter Berger left his hotel room before 11 o'clock. It was a beautiful Manhattan morning and the eighth day after the team had landed. Clear blue skies, minimal traffic, partially because it was Saturday and partially because of the worsening gasoline shortage. It was the kind of morning to make a man happy, to make a man cheerful, to make a man glad to be alive. But Peter Berger was far too worried and preoccupied to be aware of any natural delights the day may have had to offer. For him, the last few days had been a nightmare of fear and uncertainty.
Why haven't the FBI come for me yet? George must have gone to them by now, told them everything.
He'd been waiting for them, expecting them in his hotel room since Thursday night, cringing at every footfall in the hallway. He hadn't even gone out for meals for fear that the FBI would come and think he was trying to evade them.
Why haven't they come? Has something happened to George? He seemed so sure, so positive about what he was intending to do. An accident, perhaps? Could he have changed his mind? It's possible. I suppose there were moments when I wondered, when I hoped he might even come back, looking sheepish and say,
"Everything is okay. We're not giving ourselves up."
Oh, that's good. That's the best news you could...
Peter! Peter!
What? Oh, Frank, Richard, you gave me such a fright.
Well, you almost walked right past us. What's the matter with you? Is something wrong?
No, everything's fine. I guess I was thinking about something else. I didn't realize I was this close to 44th Street.
You could get us all into a lot of trouble, Peter, walking around in a daze like that. Try to remember who you are and where you are. Stay alert.
Sorry. I suppose I haven't quite got used to being here yet. There's so much going on. Why did you call me? Why did I have to meet you here? What is this place, anyway?
A tailor, upstairs. Our new suits are ready. I thought we could pick them up and then go for lunch. Hell, George has been nagging enough about getting new clothes. Now we've finally done it and ordered something good, he doesn't even show up. Where is he? Eh? Why isn't he here?
He couldn't come.
Why the hell not? We haven't seen him for a week.
Well, he's been busy.
Has he? Doing what, I wonder? I suppose he knows what he's about. One must be thankful for that, at least, eh? As time all of us got busy. Have you heard from Curling yet?
No, not yet.
Oh? That's odd. He and his boy should have arrived about Thursday. Do you suppose anything could have happened to them?
Happened? What could happen? Why should anything happen?
I suppose you're right. There's plenty of time yet. They'll show up sooner or later. I hate to admit it, but it seems George was right. There really wasn't much point in rushing into things. In fact, we are just beginning to enjoy ourselves. We have been doing the town, Richard and I. We went to a place called the Swing Club last night. Oh, lots of booze, lots of girls. Yeah, it was quite a lot of fun. We think we ought to take you with us next time, eh? How about it, Peter? Want to go out on the town tonight, eh?
Yeah. Oh, I'd better not. I ought to stick around the hotel in case George needs me.
Oh, okay. Suit yourself. Come on, Richard. Let's go pick up our new suits. The tailor said to be ready by 11. And we can find a place to eat lunch. I'm starving.
Right. Now, here's what we do. Six of you wait on the flower shop opposite. Five of you split up and wait at the end of the street, but do nothing for the moment. Just tail them. As each of them splits up, so do we. I want each man taken separately to keep any of them from knowing his compatriots may have been arrested. It gives a chance to evaluate each man's statement if he's under the impression that he might be the only one who's been captured.
Well, what do you think of our new clothes, Peter? Taylor did a pretty good job, don't you think, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and now it's time to go get that good lunch.
If you don't mind, I think I'll get back to the hotel and have a snack later. I don't feel like anything just now.
All right, if that's what you want. We'll be contacting you, eh?
Yeah, sure. You never know. George may have arrived back in the meantime. See you soon.
Right. That's one of them moving off. As soon as he's out of sight of the others, pick him up. It's only a question of time now, and we'll have them all in the bag.
Washington that night, I was in a special club car toward the rear of the train, sharing drinks with a few British military acquaintances. One way or another, I guess I wasn't a very pleasant companion. I was rather deeply preoccupied with my thoughts. Dimly, or rather faintly in the background, I caught or half-heard their conversation, which seemed to flow past and around me as if I weren't really there.
Well, it seems as if Winnie is not all that interested in opening a second front in Europe at present. Seems to prefer a swipe at North Africa.
Yes, he seems to be very much in favour of that. But on the other hand, I got the impression he also wanted to launch an attack on Norway. Either way, they could have far-reaching and devastating effects on enemy concentrations. They're so firmly entrenched, they think they're bloody well nigh invulnerable.
I sometimes wonder if in some respects they aren't. Rommel seems to be running riot again in Africa. He's pushing closer and closer to Tobruk. If it weren't for those brave bloody so-and-sos, the whole ruddy front could have collapsed by now. I only hope that some of the people in this part of the world realize the true significance of the situation and how ruddy urgent it is to lend these fellows a hand. I mean, if it weren't for them, those brave few fighting Johnnies, the war could well be over before half of us even knew what the hell was going on.
I didn't mean to be rude to my British compatriots in the train that night. But my thoughts at that particular moment weren't climbing to the lofty heights of Operation Sledgehammer, Operation Gymnast, or Operation Jupiter. They were settling at a more personalized level. In a matter of just a few hours, I would be back in Washington, facing the imminent issue of Operation Blazek, the White House security liaison whose records had been permanently impaired by a one initial indictment. P. Political influence. Why? Because I'm too damned easygoing, that's why. I always sit back quietly grinning a good-natured grin while other people decide what I should be and how I should be it. Mother, while she lived, Mr. Allenby, General Roach, General Tucker. Now, Gay, what else is a guy like Calhoun to think when I make no effort to stop it? What the hell am I? A sort of Moses in the bulrushes, floating from patron to patron, brought up in a succession of palaces? In the kitchen, to be sure, but at least there were royal kitchens. P, take care. The man has political influence. Well, it's time I put a stop to it. Stop going through life with the mark of a sycophant, leaning on influential props. From now on, I've got to dig my heels in, act as my own man. Not all at once, sure, but gradually. There's no sense in committing suicide. Just one person at a time to start with, like Calhoun and the memos. But before I start the fight, I'll have to make sure there's a chance I can win.
Well, Werner, how do you feel? After all the training at Quenn's Lake, we are finally here. The whole of the United States is our oyster.
Yes, I suppose it is. But what is the hurry? We have received no word as yet.
We soon will. And once we begin working in concert with the Dash team, we can flit from place to place with impunity, as Kappa said. Strike at American industries. Kappa told me that in time he could probably come over himself to take charge of the widening range of saboteurs that we can set up. The plan has tremendous appeal when you think about it. How easy it is to sink into the bloodstream of America and simply vanish from sight, to flow with the rich red tide like a cancerous cell. We can, to quote Kappa, kill and maim with impunity. Sit quietly at a drugstore counter with our victims and listen to them discuss the carnage over toast and coffee, never dreaming the perpetrators or would-be perpetrators could be seated just a chair or two away.
Sure, sure, I know all that. But in the meantime, while we are waiting, I'm very interested in the pieces of tail wandering around here for the taking. What's the matter with you? Aren't you interested in women?
In their place, yes. Otherwise, no. On a job like this, we must have all our faculties under control. Women are too demanding, too distracting, too busy sucking up one's energies. What is most important is the job in hand.
Yeah, dedication is one thing. A man's needs are another. Depends on how you look at it.
I think you've just been lucky. Imagine ending up like young Haupt. A fine young man, well-built, good-looking, the whole world in front of him. Then he has an affair with some wench on the backseat of a car, runs for his life when she turns up pregnant, and insists that he marries her. He doesn't even wait to ask questions, just runs off to Mexico and takes a roundabout route to Germany just to avoid marriage. He needed a wiser head to counsel him.
At 35 years of age, I don't need any counseling on matters like that.
I'm dead beat. I think I'll go to bed and sleep for the next 2 or 3 days.
That's a good idea. I'll wake you later. We'll go out and take in a show.
What about you?
Aren't you going to catch a nap or two?
I'm too keyed up to waste a Sunday morning in bed. I'll probably go out.
Out? Where?
I'll check with our New York mail drop to see if we've had any word from Dash and the others.
Hey, you're wasting your time. Kappa told us quite clearly that our rendezvous had been arranged in the grill room of the Gibson Hotel in Cincinnati between 12 and 1 on July 4th. Hey, what a joke. American Independence Day.
Yes, I know. But there's no harm in checking at my mail drop and telling my trusted friend that messages might arrive. Who knows? One must be prepared for the unexpected.
And does your friend know any women?
I don't know. I doubt it. I think he likes his privacy too much to waste it on a woman.
I don't care what he does with his privacy. I just want him to fix me up with a date. It's been a long time since our overnight stop in Paris.
You know something, Werner. You're disgusting.
Perhaps, but not as often as I'd like to be. Better make sure when you get there that he is not being watched. Abwehr warned us that there might be surveillance on German citizens still living in the country. Male or female.
I'll be careful. But if the figures of the High Command were correct, there are about 8 million Germans still residing in this country. It would take a lot of G-men to watch over even a few thousand of them. But don't worry. I'll keep a watchful eye. A voice from your past.
Good heavens, Edward. Edward Kerling. Is it possible?
Hello, Willy.
Good heavens, Edward. I thought you were... Where did you come from?
Surprised? Surely you didn't think a little thing like a war could keep me away?
Come in.
Thank you.
Thought you were in Germany.
I was.
Then how did you get here?
You don't want to know. What's the matter, old friend? You've seen better times. The place is not as I knew it. I've seen you looking happier. Aren't you glad to see me?
Of course I am. You know I am, but why do you come here? What if someone were to see you? Things aren't so good here these days, Edward. They all hate us.
Hate you? How can that be? Things can't be that bad. Now listen, I'm in town with a friend, really. He's waiting for me now. I only came by to say hello and tell you that we might get some messages. I gave your name and address. Will you keep the messages for us if they arrive?
Messages? What kind of messages?
Just an occasional communication from our relatives. Don't worry about them, Willie. Just keep them for me until I come by to collect them.
Would they be letters? A letter came 3 days ago, but it wasn't for you. It was addressed to an Edward Kelly.
What did you do with it?
I put it away. I thought it was a trick. They do that, you know. The FBI, it happens all the time. A butcher on Lexington Avenue told me so. They persecute us. I didn't open it. I was afraid they would come and ask to see it, and I wanted to prove that I had never opened it.
I see. Where is it?
I locked it in the roll-top desk over there, near the window.
All right. Just get it out and bring it to me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I know it's in here somewhere. I have half a bottle of sherry here. Would you care for a glass, Edward?
No, thanks. It's too early. Find the letter.
Yeah, of course. Too early. Here it is. It's postmarked Washington. That's why it made me so nervous.
Thank you. Hell. This postmark is 6 days old. It's the day we landed in Florida. Richard Goethe. It's the last-minute code name Kappa gave us. Meet me on Dash in Aberdeen, Maryland. Goethe. We should have met there 2 days ago.
Are you sure you wouldn't like a sherry, Edward?
No. No, thank you.
If you don't mind, I think I would. I would like to have one.
You never used to drink in the morning, Willie. What has happened to you?
I don't really drink too much, Edward. Honestly, it's just that I have so much on my mind these days. I have debts. My practice is not what it was. Never enough money. I'm not a young man anymore. You know how it is.
Yes, I know. I can understand that you have problems. Perhaps I can do something about it. I have plenty of money, more than you could possibly believe. If you are willing to do a few favors for me, perhaps I can relieve some of your financial problems.
Favors? Oh, what kind of favors? I wouldn't want to get into any trouble.
There won't be any trouble. I merely wish you to send a message for me, and to lease a car for my friend and me. That's not too much to ask, is it?
Lease a car? No, I suppose I could do that.
Here. Take this. I think this will solve quite a few of your problems. We'll need a car in a couple of days. We may be leaving town and we'll need transportation. Just as soon as you send a message for me, and a couple of friends join us from Chicago.
What kind of message?
A telegram, over your name. I want you to get dressed and go to the Western Union office and have them send it right away. It's to go to a man named Arthur Haupt in Chicago. It should say that the family reunion has been set forward. Tell them to come to your house and include your address.
Family reunion? My address? What does it mean?
Never mind what it means. They will understand.
But the FBI, what if they arrest me?
How can they arrest you? Forget about the FBI, Willie. Oh. You're perfectly safe. Our presence in this country is completely unsuspected. Believe me, the FBI knows nothing.
All right. I will do as you ask.
Certainly. And in future, you will have no more financial problems.
That was Episode 11 of The Ninth Man by John Lee. Adapted and directed for broadcasting in 25 parts by Victor Mackeson. You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world.